Well, if you have your Bible with you tonight, and I hope you do, please turn to John 17. John 17, we're going to be looking at verse 24 this evening, which is the final request that Jesus offers up on behalf of all those who would trust in him. It's the last request he offers up before he kind of issues an amen at the end of the prayer, which we'll look at next time. But in John 17, just so you remember, Jesus is offering up a prayer to God in light of his coming death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. And the prayer that Jesus gives is focused on one primary objective. It's that his Father in heaven would be glorified here on earth. That is, after all, the grand mission of Jesus Christ. It is to reconcile all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And Jesus' first coming was no exception to that fact. Jesus, through his first coming, wants to glorify his Father here on earth. And so Jesus has three ways that he plans on doing that. And he prays through these plans step by step here in John 17. First, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus plans to glorify his Father here on earth through his cross. He prays that the glory of the Father would be seen through his great redemptive work that he accomplishes for sinners on Calvary. Second, in verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays to glorify his Father here, he plans to glorify his Father here on earth through his companions, that is, 11 faithful disciples, that they would carry on his message and his ministry faithfully far after when he is gone. And then finally, in verses 20 through 26, Jesus plans to glorify his Father here on earth through his church, that is, through all those who would come to trust in him through the apostles' word. We're studying that last point right now as a church, as Christ prays for his church. And Jesus prays for two things on our behalf here. In verses 21 through 23, Jesus prays for our present unity in him. And then in verse 24, Jesus prays for our future glory with him. We looked at that first request over several weeks as Jesus prays for his followers to experience true Christian unity for the glory of God. A Christian unity and oneness that, if you remember, is grounded in doctrinal truth, in genuine salvation, in missional purpose, in personal holiness, and in proper affections. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at that second request as Jesus prays in verse 24 for our future glory with him, that we would not only be one with him now in spirit, but that we would be one with him forever in fullness, that we would experience future and forever glory with him. And so, with that in mind, let's read John 17, 20 through 26. Jesus prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you have given us this Wednesday evening to be able to gather together to study it, to meditate on its truths, and to apply them to our lives. Father, we thank you for showing us once again tonight, as you will by your Spirit, the heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that the yearnings that Christ had here on earth would be the yearnings that we have here on earth as well. And as Christ longed for the day when we would be with him, Father, I pray that you would work in us by your Spirit and by your truth to stir up that desire within us as well, so that we would desperately long for and look to and hope in the day when we will at last be in your presence glorified. And Father, we just pray that you would lead us on right paths tonight for your name's sake. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after Jesus prays for our present unity in him as those who would believe in him, he then prays for our future glory with him. And that's in verse 24. That's in verse 24, where Jesus says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Now, Jesus starts off by saying Father, which in this prayer often serves as the grounding to particularly magnificent requests. And Jesus often says Father when he wants to ground those magnificent requests upon the special relationship that he has with his Father. So, for example, in verse 1, Jesus says, "Father, glorify your Son," when he prays that the Father would glorify the two of them through the hour of darkness that was to come. Through the darkest moment in history, "God, glorify me so that I might glorify you." And he grounds that in that special relationship. Then in verse 5, Jesus says, "Father, glorify me in your presence," when Jesus asks that he would be restored in his humanity to the glory that he had at first before he took on flesh and blood. And so that is a great request that he grounds in that relationship. And then in verse 11, Jesus says, "Holy Father, keep them in your name," when he prays that his companions would be spiritually preserved in the midst of a wicked world. That is a great request to be eternally preserved and spiritually preserved. And so those are no small requests, and neither is this one that we're going to look at. And so Jesus grounds this request in his special relationship with the Father, and he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am." Now, I was just thinking about that. I couldn't get over how awesome that statement is when you think about it. I mean, speaking for myself, there aren't too many famous people in this world that would want to have me around them. And I'm sure the same, unless you've been keeping something, the same would be true for you as well. I mean, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 1:26, not many of us are wise. Not many of us are powerful. Not many of us are of noble birth. Nobody's going to write biographies about most of us, I would guess, right? We're not going to be called up by the royal family in Great Britain or the President of the United States to hang out with them for lunch or tea, depending on which side of the Atlantic you're going. It's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:13. This is most often our experience. We have become and are still like the scum of the world and the refuse of all things. And yet, isn't it awesome to know that the Son of the living God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the King of all things, prays here that to his Father that we would be with him forever? I don't know about you, but the closest relationship I have in my life is my wife. Even she gets sick of me after a while. But Jesus wants me to be with him forever. That's amazing. Beloved, this shows us something. Jesus loves us like no one else could ever love us. He desires our company, and he wants us to be with him. He says, "I desire that they may be with me where I am." I mean, I love this because this gets beyond eternal decrees and plans and purposes and stuff, and it just gets at the heart of the affection of Jesus. He wants us to be with him. He longs for it. He desires it. And of course, Jesus' desires are perfectly one with the desires of his Father, so I'm not trying to pit the persons of the Godhead against each other. Absolutely not. As Jesus says in John 6, 37 through 39, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and everyone who comes to me I'll never cast out. Why? For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has ever given to me, but will raise it up on the last day," right? To be with me, right? The Father's plans are the same as the Son's desires. And what is that desire that Jesus has? I've already said it, that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Here Jesus is anticipating his future return into the presence of God in heaven, where he is seated right now at the right hand of the majesty on high, where he is right now crowned with all glory and honor. And Jesus is saying, I want them to be with me there where I am. I want all that you have given me, every single love gift, every single chosen soul. I want them to be with me there. Here Jesus is praying for what he's promised the disciples back in John 14, 2 through 3. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the desire of God expressed by the Son's prayer. It is for us to be with Jesus forever and ever, always and amen. Isn't that wonderful? This is God's plan. It's for us to be with Jesus. This is our desire, to be with Jesus. And this is Christ's prayer for us to be with Jesus also. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And so we will always be with the Lord. How encouraging to think about, and how humbling at the same time, that we, unworthy souls, who often don't have a lick of affection to spend time with the Lord on a day in and day out basis, how humbling that we are to spend eternity with the God of this universe in his very presence, because he desires us. We will spend eternity in his presence because of the redeeming prayer, plan, and purposes of God. How wonderful. It's exactly what the hymnist said, soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him will rise. Ours is the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia. We'll be with him wherever he is, forever and ever. Why? Why though? Why is this great promise given that we will be with him? It's Jesus says at the end of the verse, end of verse 24, he says, Father, my desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Why? To see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So why does Jesus want us to be with him? He wants us to be with him so that we can see his glory. The glory that is verse 5 already mentioned, Jesus enjoyed before the world ever existed. Jesus wants us to see that glory that he possesses. Now, there is a degree in which Christ's glory is already seen. It was seen, if you remember, by the apostles when he walked here on earth. As John 1 verse 14 says, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we've seen his what? Glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christ's glory was seen by the disciples, but it was never seen in its fullness. It was always veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, right? We see this at the moment of transfiguration when the veil for a moment was pulled back and his divine glory was allowed to shine forth. So Christ's glory was seen by the apostles, but it was always veiled, even at that most magnificent moment. And Christ's glory is seen by us today as well. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, that is with hearts of faith, are beholding the glory of the Lord, Paul tells us. Every time we open up the pages of Scripture, by the Holy Spirit's illumination, we are seeing Christ's glory there. But again, we're not seeing it in its fullness. As 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see as in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Jesus wants us to be with him so that we can finally see his undiminished glory in all his majesty. And I want you to know that that's not selfish, beloved. To see the glory of God is in fact the most wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling thing in all the universe. It is so marvelous that even a whisper of his glory causes, and you see in Scripture, mortal men to fall down as though dead. It is so glorious that even the angels cover their eyes to veil their sight, and yet Jesus wants us to be so perfected and glorified to such a degree that we can be with him and enjoy him in all his undiminished glory. That there would be no covering, no veil between him and us, but all would be open and revealed and seen and glorious, just like it was in Genesis. What is this glory? Well, it's beyond anything that we could ever ask or think. As one author put it, this is a glory that is anticipated by everything lovely. This is a glory approximated by anything good. And this is a glory that is surpassed by nothing in all creation. His glory is so brilliant in the eternal state, we see that it eclipses even the sun. And Christ is going to make us fit for it so that we can be with him in all of his glory and fullness forever. If you want more of a description of Christ's glory than that, read the book of Revelation. That gives you a small doorway into what this glory will be. In short, this glory of God in Christ will be the consummation of all of God's purposes. It'll be the full display of all of his character. It'll be the outshining of all of his radiance. And it'll be the manifestation of all his blissful life towards his people. And so Christ prays that we would be with him so that we might share with him in all of this. And one day we will. 1 John 3, 2-3 says, "Beloved, we're God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." And then he says this in verse 3, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself even as he is pure." One day we're going to share in the glory of Jesus Christ himself. We will be, in the greatest sense of the term, naked and unashamed in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it will be indescribable, infinite glory forever and ever that we will share in. Why? Because, as Jesus says, "Because you loved me before the foundation of the world." I feel like there's a whole sermon there that I really wish I had more time to think about. Because what it shows in that one statement is this. What makes heaven glorious, particularly for his people? What makes eternity glorious? It's the love. It's the love that the Father has for the Son. And therefore, the love that the Father gives to all those who are in him. Heaven and earth is glorious because it is an eternity of the Father loving us in the Beloved One, Jesus Christ. Heaven and eternity will be glorious because we will be sharing in, partaking in, swept up in the love that the Father has for his Son, ever increasing, ever growing, never diminishing, forever and ever and ever. And as the Father pours out his love upon his Son for all of eternity, we will be with him and the Father will be pouring out his love on us forever and ever. Hallelujah. I mean, that is our destiny in Christ because of Christ's person and his passion and his prayer. Those who share in the love of the Father will share in the glory of the Son, and we will share in future glory with him, which is paradise restored. It's exactly what Jesus prays for here in John 17. I don't know, there's so much more I could say there, but I don't even know how to say it. Other than how beautiful it is to see the heart of Christ, that he longs for us to be with him, not just in spirit in the here and now, but forever in fullness in his unimaginable glory. How humbling it is to realize that the King of Kings desires for us just to be with him, just to share in his glory and the love that's poured out between the Father and the Son since before the foundation of the world. That's our eternal hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And so I can just sit there and say this, man, if this is the heart that Christ has for me, then I want to be made more like him and have that same heart towards him. That I would long to be with him. And so I would encourage you, as you see the heart of Christ desiring the fellowship of his people here, to be challenged, all of us tonight, to dive back into our fellowship with our great Savior this week, if you've been neglecting His Word, oh, listen to Him. He longs to speak to you. And then talk to Him. He longs to hear from you. And we get to do that tonight as a church, as we gather together and pray. We get to have a taste of the future glory of the fellowship that we'll enjoy with the Son forever and ever. Amen.